that description for himself. It's usually some other background issues going on. Because in the deen, and in the language, and in the practice of the scholars of the past, this is something no one ever had a problem with. Not a problem in the deen, not a problem in the language. Just like no one is going to ever make inkar or have a problem with the fact that I'm Amriki. I'm an American. You are Pakistani. No one's going to have a problem with you're Pakistani. You're Afriki. No one. Because you're connecting yourself to that particular thing. In the language, it's the ya and nisbah. That's all it is. So the word salaf, righteous predecessors from the companions mainly. That word is in the Quran, in the authentic sunnah. The word of salaf, someone who passed you by, went before you. Now I'm going to connect myself to them how? By saying salafi. Now with salafi now, what it has become with certain people, I'm salafi and I'm better than you, even though I misbehave. I'm salafi and I'm a criminal, but I'm going to treat you bad. I'm salafi and you have more ibadah than me, you have more knowledge than me, you love the Quran more than me, you're more respectful than people than I am. But because I'm salafi and I claim I'm salafi, I walk around as if I'm better than everyone. No, that person has a problem. But that shouldn't make you reject the concept of connecting yourself to the companions of this religion, unless you're on the religion of the Rafida. Unless you're on the religion of the Shiite of Iran and Pakistan and Bangladesh and Afghanistan and Iraq and other places who hate the companions. And I don't think anybody is like that. So the term Salafi is from the deen, Ikhwani, and there's no problem with that. Make a distinction between the people's behavior and what the reality is. He was married to a sister, he's Salafi. He divorced a girl, now she doesn't like a Salafiya. No, that's not correct. And if she had good friends, if she had good friends who were advising her, they would say, sister, that's not correct. And they would advise her accordingly, as opposed to taking her position, which is or was, he divorced my friend, so I don't like him and I don't like a Salafiya. No, that's not the correct way. Naam, Ikhwan. Ibrahim, so what time do we have, Ibrahim? Tafaddal ya akhi. Would he what? Concerning the individual who has kibr and he dies, would he enter into Jannah? This is explained in part by the hadith in Sahih Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. فقال الرجل يا رسول الله إن الرجل يحب أن يكون ثوبه حسنا والنعله حسنا. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله جميل ويحب جمال الكبر بطر الحق وغمت الناس. The person who has a speck of arrogance in his heart won't enter into the paradise. It's haram. Allah made it haram, just like He made it haram for the kuffar. Haram for the kuffar to enter in paradise. Whoever has a speck of arrogance, he won't enter the Jannah. The man say, Ya Rasulullah, one of us, like myself, I like to have a nice thobe, nice, crisp thobe. And he likes to have nice shoes. In another narration, the man said, Ya Rasulullah, Ma uridu ahadan yusharikani fi shiraki. I don't want anyone to even have shoestrings the way my shoestring is. I want the nicest shoestring. Is that kibr? Rasulullah said, Allah is beautiful. Allah is jameel. When He shows the people of Jannah His face, it's going to be the greatest ni'mah of Jannah. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Look at His creation. He loves beauty. He said, kibr is, arrogance is, rejecting the truth and looking down upon people. There are a lot of mutakabbirun in this masjid right now. If that's the definition of al-kibr, rejecting the truth and looking down upon people. The truth comes to you, he's praying a certain way, you give him the ahadith, you give him the ayat, he says, but my imam, but we didn't do it, but Abu Hanifa, he rejected the truth. kibr. And he looks down upon people. He thinks that his tribe is better than the next tribe. The Muslims who are fighting each other, warring against each other, they're rejecting the truth. So don't be arrogant. We found that the Islamiyun, the people who were practicing the religion, wanting to come, they wanted to bring back the Majd of al-Islam, they have the most kibr. Come into that. The individual who is on the dawah of the Jamaatul Jihad. Al-Jihad, al-Jihad, al-Jihad. We believe in Jihad. Let everybody know that. But the Jihad that the ulama are driving is the car of al-Jihad. When you try to sit to reason with people like that, the Takfiri brothers, for an example, because of their Hamas and their anger, they reject the truth when you bring it to them. Like, what scholar is with you on this understanding? Just one scholar. Don't give me your dalil. Just what scholar? Because you're not a scholar, I'm not a scholar. And Allah commanded us to be connected to the ulama. Not because they are ma'sumun, but because the haq will be with them more than with anyone else. Especially during the time of fitna and in big issues. What scholar do you have? He says, the scholars are all in the pockets of the tawagheed. The scholar so-and-so is a kafir anyway, and this and that. That's the rejection of the truth. You bring the adilla of how people, like in what we mentioned today, Abu Mas'ud, Rasulullah called him, Ya Abu Mas'ud. He said, I was so angry, I didn't even know what was said. He didn't pay attention. He was still mad. So do we turn around and say, he's rejecting the sunnah? No, the man is so angry that he doesn't become a kafir due to the anger. He had a reason, he had an excuse. Those hukam and other than the hukam, they don't necessarily become non-Muslims just because you do something. There are rules and regulations. So I choose this particular concept and this particular group, Ikhwani, because of the danger that they pose in the climate and the environment that we're living in. We do not bite our tongue for no one. Jihad is for our, is from our deen. But which jihad? The jihad that gets rid of fitna and dhulm and so forth and so on. As it relates to the hadith, he won't enter into Jannah. He will never enter into Jannah while kibr is in his heart. Ever. It's haram. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ أَنْ آيَاتِنَا وَيَسْتَكْبِرُونَ أَنْهَا لَا تُفَتَّهُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا تُفَتَّهُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يَلِجُ الْجَمَلْ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَاطِ. Those people who reject our signs and they disbelieve, they will never ever, the doors of the Jannah of the sky, they won't be open for them. They won't enter into Jannah until the camel can pass through the eye of a needle. Wahayhat, hayhat. Never gonna happen. Kafir will never go to Jannah no matter who he is. And if a person has kibr, he'll never go to Jannah. Because Jannah won't accept kibr. But he's still under the mashi'ah of Allah. If Allah sha'a, he'll forgive him. If Allah sha'a, he'll punish him. So Allah may put him in the hellfire and burn that kibr out so he goes into Jannah without kibr. Or Allah will forgive him for that kibr and he'll take it out of his heart and he'll go into paradise. So he's still under the mashi'ah of Allah, but he will not go into Jannah with kibr, because kibr is from the characteristics that are only for Allah. He is mutakabbir. You can be abdul mutakabbir. Allah is mutakabbir, and no one else has the right to have kibr. Now, going to shorten the questions now. Aywa, the answers to the questions. During the course of training, the person falls off of his horse. They're racing, training. His brother knocks him off. He falls off the horse, breaks his arm. They're wrestling. The process, he breaks his arm, knocks his tooth out. Is that permissible? That blood, he is not responsible for. It was a mistake in the process of training. It was a mistake. If it was in training, and the Imam of the Muslims sanctioned it and organized it, then the Baytul Mal will pay the compensation for what was broken. And the one who broke it doesn't have to pay. It was in the line of duty. But if they were goofing off on their own, playing around on their own, and he made a mistake, and he did that to him, then he has to pay that money, unless that individual says it's okay. Now, any more questions for someone who didn't ask a question? Right here. So as not to leave the sisters out, a brother from the administration, I believe, touched me on my shoulder to say I answer the questions of the sisters. So he ordered me, and I obeyed the administration. And he's looking out for the sisters. What is the halal way of getting to know your husband to be? The halal way is that he goes through the proper channels. He knocks on the door of the wali, seeks permission to talk to her. In the Jami Sagir of Sheikh Suyuti, Al Albani cleaned it up, made it sahih and daif. In the first chapter or the second book, the hadith or the athar of Anas, Qala radiyallahu anhu, نهينا أن نتحدث مع النساء إلا بإذن أوليائهن. We have been prohibited from talking to women except after gaining the permission of their awliya. So it's not permissible to talk to the sister. I think her family is from a particular country, more than likely they won't accept me, so I talk to her to get to know her, and then we'll spring it upon the family later on. No, you have to get the permission of the wali. Get the permission of the wali. So the correct way is, try to spend as much time with the brother under the supervision of your wali, under the supervision of your family members. Change up the environment to see, does he have good akhlaq? Does he have manners? Does he get angry? Is he generous? Does he think about you? Pull out the chair, open the door. Issues like that. As much as you possibly can. And we advise the sisters not to be in a rush to marry people. Don't be in a rush to marry people. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, many times is not enough to get the reality of the person to become exposed. What is the ruling between two engaged people? Is the brother allowed to see the sister's aura when they are engaged? Some of the scholars of Al-Islam are of the opinion that it is permissible for the brother to see the aura of the girl. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi rahimahullahu ta'ala, and other than him, was the opinion that he can ask the lady to see her hair and even to see her real mahasin, because of the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, in which he used to get on the tree and look at the lady that he wanted to marry. And because of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he told the man, look at that which will encourage you to marry her. But the vast majority of the ulama, this is the opinion that we stick to, especially in this environment where we get young people and other than young people coming to the deen, and we want to take advantage of some of the fatwas of the ulama. We say that the majority of the ulama say nothing should be seen of that girl by her future husband, inshallah, except her face and her hands. That's it. That is it. And what's going to happen, sister, when he chooses not to marry you? For reasons unknown to you or him at this particular time, how are you going to send him a picture exposing yourself? Let him get a glimpse of what you actually look like. And besides, ikhwani, a brother, he knows what he likes in a lady. He likes a lady tall, likes a lady short, doesn't like a lady too heavy, or he likes her heavy. He likes a lady this, like that. He can see all of that in the way she is shaped. He doesn't have to see every detailed definition of her beauty. And anyone who's a wali, you should warn your daughter or your sister, if you do this and I find out about it, I'm going to break your kneecaps. Do I look like I'm laughing? You have to teach your daughter that. I'm going to break your kneecaps if you show anybody your mahasin. What are the most effective ways to perform a tawbah? With your lisan, first of all. As the Prophet told us, At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu. The one who makes the tawbah is like the one who doesn't have any sins at all. To perform wudu, to perform a lot of salat, to fast in the month of Ramadan, as-salawatul khams, wa Ramadan ila Ramadan, mukaffiratun lima baynahunna, idha ijtunibat al-kabair, as-salawatul khams, wal-jum'atu ila al-jum'ati, wa Ramadanu ila Ramadana, mukaffiratun lima baynahunna, idha ijtunibat al-kabair. Each prayer that you make, they wipe away the sins that happen between those prayers. Each wudu that you make, wipe off the sins. Each Jummah that you make, wipe off the sins of the last Jummah. Each Ramadan you fast, wipe off the sins. The one who makes the Hajj mabrur, raja'a, kayom waladatu ummuhu. He returns from Hajj like the day his mother gave birth to him. So the Hajj will take off the major sins and the minor sins. So he makes Tawbah and he avoids going back to those things to the best of his ability. Keeping in mind, ikhwani, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ ضَمٌّ هُوَ يَعْتَادُهُ أَلْفَيْنَةَ بَعْدِ الْفَيْنَةَ أَوْ هُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَيْهِ لَا يُفَارِقُهُ حَتَّى يُفَارِقُ الدُّنْيَا إنما المؤمن خلق مفتنا توابا نسيا إذا ذكر ذكر. There is not a single believer except that he'll do the same mistake time and time again. He'll do it, leave it, do it, leave it, do it, leave it. Or a mu'min who he does the same crime and sin all the time. He won't leave it until he leaves this dunya. Verily, the believer has been created to be tried. And he has been created to make tawbah. And he has been created to forget. So if he is reminded, he remembers. And that's why we need good friends to remind us. Because our nature is to make sins and mistakes. How do you deal with a person who is your family and friend who is running away from the sunnah, and the advice you give them is thrown back at you, and they don't appreciate it, I guess they're trying to say. First of all, the individual is giving da'wah to Allah, he has to realize that it's just our job to give a da'wah. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ. It's the responsibility of the messenger to relay the message. وَهَلْ عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ. And is it his responsibility other than just to give the message? So it's the responsibility of the individual to give da'wah. And the da'wah should be to who? The da'wah should be to Allah. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Call to the way of your Lord. Not to your own way. Not to your own way. Qul hadhihi sabili adu'u ila Allah. Ana wa man ittaba'ani. Tell them, Ya Muhammad, this is my way, I call to Allah. Me and those who follow me, we call to Allah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلٍ مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. He made da'wah ila Allah. So when he makes da'wah to Allah, it may bother him that the people don't embrace the da'wah, but he doesn't get mad that they don't accept the da'wah, because he's not calling them for his own self. So you know that you are da'i who has ikhlas. When the people reject your da'wah, you don't get mad. You just feel sorry for them. You wish that they would accept it, but you don't get upset. So just be persistent and continue to give a da'wah ila Allah, realizing innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakin Allah yahdi man yasha'u. You do not and cannot guide those who you love. Allah guides who He wants to guide. Are we allowed to eat the meat from the people of the book, like the Christians and the Jews of nowadays? Are we allowed to eat McDonald's and Burger King? The initial of ikhtilaf between the scholars of Al-Islam, I'm of the opinion that it is permissible. It is permissible. I don't do it, just like I don't smoke hubbly bubbly. But I believe that it is permissible due to the adilla. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم وطعامكم حل لكم وطعامكم حل لهم. They ask you what is halal, ya Muhammad, to eat. Tell them all good things are halal, and the food of those people who were given the book before you is halal for you, and your food is halal for them. Aisha radiallahu anha was given some meat by some people from Al-Kitab. She came to Rasulullah with the meat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, ya Rasulullah, it was given to me by people from Al-Kitab. He told her, Sammillah wa kuli. You say Bismillah and eat it. He didn't get into how did they slaughter it, who slaughtered it, did they say Bismillah over it, rah, rah, ray, ray. He didn't get into all of that. Are they the Christians of that time, this time, say that? Where does that come from? وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. Your law wasn't forgetful. He knew what kind of Christians would be here today. Same ones that were there back then. And you can marry their women and you can eat their food. That is the opinion of some of the major scholars of Al-Islam. And the reason why they say you can eat McDonald's and the other places is because this is a country of Christians. And even though the guy may be a Sikh, Hindu, Chinaman, even though he may be all of that, the ruling of the country takes precedence over the establishment. But why would we eat their food when we have so much halal going on? But if someone did it, I don't feel it's correct to be rough and tough with him. Going to speed this up now. Brother, is your feet part of your aura concerning the sister? Yes, her feet is part of her aura and it shouldn't be exposed. In the hadith of Abu Dawood, Aisha said that the Prophet said, the balaqat al mar'a, if she becomes of age, nothing should be seen of her except her face and her hands. He said, "Al-mar'atu awra." All of the woman is an awra. But the hadith that we mentioned first goes to show that the awra of the face and the hands is what can be seen by the men outside. So she should cover up her feet either with socks or long dress when she makes the salat. What are the ways in which one can purify the heart? Al-Ikhlas, knowledge is a great purification. Fasting is a great purification. Reading the book of Allah Azza wa Jal is a great purification. Making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal is a great purification. How do you know if Allah loves you? You know that Allah loves you, insha'Allah, by a few signs. One of the signs is what the Prophet said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدَهُ ابْتَلَاهُ. If Allah loves His servant, He tries him. Cleans him up in this dunya now. Cleans him up now. Causes him to lose his sight. Causes her to lose her baby. Causes the family to ostracize her, boycott her. So if Allah tries you in this dunya, it's a sign. He guides you to Al-Islam. In addition to that, He guides you from amongst all of the people in Islam to the Sunnah. To the Sunnah is a sign that Allah wanted good for you. From the signs that Allah loves an individual is that He finds other people love Him because Allah put His love that He has for that individual in the earth, and it's manifested in the love of the people. You stated that in an ayat Allah Ta'ala says He does not burden a soul more than his scope. If this is the case, why do Muslims commit suicide? Is this just their qadr? Nah, that's from the qadr of Allah, the qadr al-kawni, the universal qadr, not the qadr al-shar'i. Allah doesn't allow that, doesn't accept suicide. The one who commits suicide committed a major crime. He's under the Mashiach of Allah. Two people Rasulullah did not pray over. He didn't pray over the one who committed murder, committed suicide. And He didn't pray over the one who owed people money. Those are the only two people He refused to pray over. He prayed over the adulterer, the adulteress, the murderer, and other than that. But the one who killed himself, He refused to pray over them. But that individual is still under the Mashiach of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he killed himself as a Muslim, he's going to go to Jannah sooner or later. Sooner or later. So that person who killed himself because of a shaitan. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمْ الشَّيْطَانِ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُ وَخَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Shaitan, he made the person think. إِنَّ مَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. إِنَّ مَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. So Allah said, if Allah sent down the ease from the sky and He sent it to go into a hole right behind the difficulty, if He sent the difficulty and it was decreed to hit something in the hole, then the ease is going to come right behind it because of the ayah. إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. With difficulty there is ease. So no one is afflicted with something, divorce, whatever, except the ease is coming. So you have to have a sabr. And that's why he said a sabr diya. A sabr diya. Sabr is a light. It is a light for you. Just be patient. So the one who checks out by taking his life in his own hands, he did it because of weak iman, weak understanding. A shaitan got the best of him. Can you please explain the verse of the Quran that says women should stay in their homes with women working in the hospitals and Muslim female schools and is watching TV haram? Concerning the command of Allah Azza wa Jal to the women of Al-Islam, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرَّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. You women should stay in your homes and not make the display like the display of the times of Al-Jahiliyyah. The ayat is clear. The command for the woman is to be in her house, the place of the woman. And we should train our wives and our daughters that the best place for the woman is in her house. إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الْمَرْأَةِ اسْتَشْرَفَ الشَّيْطَانِ. If the lady goes outside, shaitan beautifies her. Even if she dressed properly. So she should stay in the house. And she shouldn't make the display of the times of Jahiliyyah. The display of the times of Jahiliyyah is the lady who wear, and she was mutabarrij. She wasn't covering up her beauty. She used to wear bangles on her leg. She used to wear bangles on her hand. She used to switch and walk in a seductive, provocative type of way. She used to walk in the middle of the men and around the men. She would put perfume on. She would be dressed, but she's not dressed, which is one of the signs of the hour. Satakun fi akhir ummati nisa'un kasiyatun ariyatun ala ru'usihinna asnamat al-bakht il'anuhunna fa innahunna mal'unat. From the signs of the hour, there will come a group of women from this ummah who will be dressed, but they're not dressed. On the top of their heads, they will wear their headgear like it is the hump of a camel. Curse them, for verily they are cursed. One of the few ayat or hadith that allow us to curse an individual, bi'aynihi. We shouldn't curse people. But Rasulullah commanded the Muslims, curse that lady. You see her, say, la'natullah alayk. But the scholar said, the meaning of this hadith is not to curse her. Some people took that opinion, but the strongest opinion is it's just going to show how bad her issue is. But we don't curse people unless we have dalil. They're from the Ashab al-Nar, Fir'aun, Abu Jahl, Abu La'ab, la'natullah alayhim. But people, even the kuffar, the president of America, we don't curse him. We don't curse him and say, curse Allah, may Allah curse him. We don't say things like that because Allah may guide that individual. So the lady should stay in the house. If she comes out of her house, she shouldn't make the display of the times of Jahiliyyah. She works in the hospital, she's a teacher, she works in a place, she studies, she's in an environment where Islam is not being compromised, then she has to come out in a way that is not similar to the times of Jahiliyyah. Watching TV is permissible, depends on what you are watching. If you're watching haram, it's haram. If you're watching the halal, then it is halal, and Allah, He knows best. We want to end, ikhwani, by thanking all of you and showing our appreciation for your presence here today, because many of you could have been out enjoying the weather, you could have been home, watching England play Portugal, and England is going to win the World Cup this year, inshallah. But you came here to the masjid, Allah Azza wa Jalla put in your mizan of hasanat yawm al-qiyamah. And we advise all of you, you young brothers, to see Allah Azza wa Jalla. We are still waiting to see Brixton and the community at Brixton return back to the former days of glory, when the people were brothers and sisters. We have problems. We have problems. Marriages, divorces, fights, and other than that. But one thing was sure and two things were for certain. We loved each other for the sake of Allah, and we were there checking for each other. We don't want Brixton to be a fly-by-night type of masjid. People come in and they're not committed to growing the program, supporting the program, being a part of the program. So continue to do so. The last thing, I have a brother with me. He came with me from Birmingham. He's looking to get married. He's a revert brother to the deen. If there are any sisters who are looking to get married, then this brother's details will be with some of the responsible people here at the masjid. You can get all of those details. Hopefully he can meet somebody before we go back to Birmingham today. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. One thing that's still in Bristol are those brothers who are still always looking like this. I don't know, the water, the meat that they say is halal but it's not halal, I don't know what it is. Lighten up, Ikhwan, lighten up.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Hameen.
Ha Meen.
تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم.